Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have a special episode today. It's a very special episode. The return of my brother, Tim Kennedy. And this was the first, this was the inaugural, the first ever podcast at the new crib on the farm. And because it was the first, why not try to do something we've never done before, which was have a face-to-face interview along with an online interview simultaneously. So we got Tim Kennedy back in the house. We were face-to-face. It was awesome. Got to do a little workout with him and his oldest daughter, tour the land, get to show him everything that we've been up to for the past couple of years. And his main partner in Apogee Schools is Matt Boudreau, who is phenomenal, a guy that I've heard so much about, haven't met yet until this point, and absolutely fucking love. Just a solid human. We talk a lot of things that go beyond children's education in this, that go into adult education, and really what values look like and what we should be fighting for. And so I know this podcast is for everyone. At the same time, you may not have kids yet, but you may be an uncle or an auntie, or you may be a mentor, and things like this will come up. They'll come across your field. What should I do if my kid's in public school? Are there other options? And what's really cool now is that there are lots of other options. And it's not because Uncle Tim's coming to the rescue. It's because you're going to go to the rescue. You're going to come in and learn what it means to teach Socratically, to build an education that's centered around the entire family, what it means to build the whole family, and what is the number one thing. This is fucking great because Tim mentions it in the podcast. And it's also, I just listened to this in a book by Dr. Leonard Sachs. I rarely listen to fucking parenting books, but this one was too good to put down. It's called The Collapse of Parenting. It's an oldie but a goodie from 2012 or somewhere around there, from Dr. Leonard Sachs, who has a PhD in psychology and is a family medicine doctor. And he is absolutely brilliant. Now, I've mentioned him on this podcast before and other podcasts, but I should say he quotes the same study that Tim did. And I'm not going to give it away right now, but if there was one thing, one trait that you could look at in a kid and ask, will that trait equal financial stability when they're older? Will it equal job success when they're older? Will it equal happiness when they're older? Will it equal successful relationships in marriage and otherwise? Was there one trait they could look at? What would that one trait be? Would it be intelligence? Would it be athleticism? Would it be charisma? What would it be? Think about that. Chew on that while we listen to this podcast. Fascinating fucking thing here. So love this one. I will run it back with the boys at some point. And I am leaning heavily towards starting an Apogee school and really thinking about that. We love homeschooling and there's a lot of positives to that. And at the same time, you know, if you know what time it is, you recognize that community building is of the utmost importance and community strengthening, super important. And even though I can guarantee my kids' education, I'd really be nice to guarantee a community's education. It would be really nice to guarantee a larger group of kids because the masses are the masses. The masses will always be the masses. And, you know, if your kids are in public school, that's on you. That's not on anyone else. It's not their decision. It's your decision. And I want you to know there are other decisions. Many people cannot afford to, nor have the time, nor have the ability to homeschool. And I fully understand that. So schooling becomes a very important option. And a lot of private schools are quite expensive. So like, where do we meet in there? A lot of private schools are also super woke and teaching the same crap you don't want them to learn at a public school. Enter Apogee, enter Tim Kennedy, enter Matt Boudreau. You guys are going to love this podcast. And again, if you don't have kids, don't worry about it. There's plenty of gems in here for all of us, with or without kids. There are many ways you can support this podcast. First and foremost, share it with somebody you know. Obviously, share it with a parent. That makes the most sense. We'll link to things in the show notes. Special things to look out for in the show notes are Tim Kennedy's podcast he did with Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan's quickly become one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. He has several of them that are awesome. Absolutely love that dude. Would love to podcast with him at some point. But in 100 episodes, somehow this dude has just blown up. He's likely way beyond my reach. That said, he's fantastic to listen to. And he does very long form, meaning even longer than Rogan's. And he did 4 hours and I think 45 minutes with Tim a lot on what Tim writes about in his book, Scars and Stripes. We'll link to that in the show notes. Tim did his own Audible. Highly recommend listening to that. But at the very least, check out this podcast with Sean Ryan and Tim. There are some just, detailed and real life scenarios in there that I think people should be aware of, because as I've mentioned before in this podcast, we kind of get locked into these bubbles within bubbles, and life goes a certain way for us, and we don't necessarily think about all the shit that's happening in the world because we don't want to. It's too much to hold. And yet there are people in this country who have been there, have been firsthand on scene through war, through combat, through everything you can think of. And Tim's one of those guys. And Tim remains an awesome fucking human. He remains centered around his family. He remains a guy who finds balance amongst extreme entrepreneurship. I think he's started like 6 companies or something like that, all of which are doing great. So he fascinates me. He's a friend, but he also fascinates me. And check out that podcast. We'll link to it. We'll link to Scars and Stripes. We'll link to Apogee Strong. If you're interested in any part of this conversation and you want to learn more, Apogee Strong, we mentioned it at the end of this, but you can check it out now. They have a documentary where Matt's featured. You'll get to know about him a lot deeper detail. And if it's something you want to learn because you want to have the skills necessary to be a mentor, to be a guide, not a teacher, but a guide, or maybe you are a teacher and you want to be a better teacher, you want to add some of the guide mentorship qualities that Tim's talking about and Matt are talking about, you can take a year-long program with them online. They have one for fathers, they have one for mothers, they have one for teachers, and I think it's phenomenal. I'm going to jump in on that. One of my other homies who helps run this farm, Eric Vaughn, he's going to jump in on that. So we're very excited to take this a little deeper and support this show by supporting our sponsors. These sponsors make this show fiscally possible. And before we dive into them, I want to tell you a little bit about Fit for Service. FitForService.com is where you can find out everything what we're doing. I've been in this game as one of the head coaches for Fit for Service for over 5 years. This is our 6th year. We just changed it over to Fit for Service Academy. And there's so much we're doing differently here. We have listened to the crowd and we are making the classes smaller groups. So we've got 40 person cutoff. Right now I have 20 people in my class in the physical, which is everything on health and wellness, everything that I've learned for the last 20 years from mentors like Paul Check and all the deep dive I've taken through the paleo world, speaking at Paleo FX, becoming buddies with Rob Wolf and Mark Sisson and many others. The things that I've learned, the great things that I've learned for the last couple of years from Jack Cruz, all of that rolled into one punch. Aaron Alexander, Dr. Kelly Starrett, mobility, you name it, it's included. There's no stone left unturned. And because I've worked with many of the best professionals in the world, guys like Dr. Michael Ruscio, who's going to return on this podcast very shortly, who is one of the world's leading gut coaches and doctors on gut health, I am a concierge within this group. So if there's something I can't handle, I will ship you off to the very best in the world to make sure that whatever's ailing you, you are able to come back 100% and be the best version of yourself for whatever you need that to be. Whether you want to be the best mom possible, whether you are an entrepreneur and you want to start a business, you need energy for that. You need physical energy and vitality for that. And the physical is the most important place to start. If you're on any choose your own adventure and Fit for Service, start with me in the physical. We're opening up for trimester 2 right now, which is going to finish in September in Sedona. You do not want to miss out on that. Sedona is its own magical place. And, we've been doing this for 5 years. We know exactly what we're doing with the big group, and we certainly know what we're doing now with small groups with this more focused education. Check it out, fitforservice.com, and go ahead and look. Just scroll through there till you get to physically fit. That's what I'm teaching, and we'll deep dive all the things you want and more in that program for 13 weeks. Then we meet up, and we go through 5 days of transformational practices with every group and get to meet and build community of like-minded individuals. All right, our first sponsor today is a company called Wild Health. These guys are awesome. Wild Health is generously extending Kyle Kingsbury listeners 20% off the cost of membership with code KKP. Head over to wildhealth.com/KKP and use code KKP at checkout. Make this commitment to yourself and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/KKP. All right, people constantly ask me, what are the most beneficial supplements or what's the best diet and exercise regimen for any number of issues? And while I try to provide as many useful tools as possible in that regard, at the end of the day, we know and need to embrace that health is not one size fits all. This is why I'm so excited to introduce you to today's sponsor, Wild Health. Founded by two emergency room physicians, Wild Health takes a proactive and preventative approach to healthcare called precision medicine. They use your genetics, biometrics, and lifestyle data to help you determine what your body needs as far as nutrition, exercise, sleep, supplements, and more, helping you function at your best now and in the long run. If you listen to this show, you care about your health, which probably means you'd find this interesting. If you're struggling with stress, your cortisol level, the primary stress hormone, is probably elevated. 50% of all Wild Health patients have seen their cortisol levels improve following our health recommendations tailored to their unique genetic makeup. A whopping 68% of their patients have an elevated ApoB, the primary protein linked to high risk of heart disease, showed improvement after joining Wild Health. Imagine slashing your risk of cardiovascular issues and potentially adding years to your life. This is just one of the ways Wild Health is transforming the lives of their patients. All right, I just started with these guys and I absolutely love them. We haven't done blood work yet, but I'm going to get blood work and a DEXA scan done. We reviewed genetics for 30 minutes and I was blown the fuck away. I did this way back in the day, 23andMe, outsourced it to Rhonda Patrick's website, and I found out a lot, but nobody walked me through it. These guys walked me through it and really ironed out what were some of the most important pieces there, supplements that I had to have that were must have. Different practices like ice bath. In order for me to fully recover at my age, ice bath is absolutely necessary. Even if it's just a minute a day at 45 degrees, 50 degrees, that's going to have a profound impact on my body personally. And that's not universal. But knowing that, that gives good credence for me to follow that design. I know that I felt better in the past from using the ice bath, but having this data point as another reason to say yes to that, that's all I need. I need a little shove sometimes, just like anyone else. I need a little encouragement like anyone else, and I haven't missed an ice bath since our call. Whether you have a specific health goal like weight loss, body composition, or improved energy, or broadly want to optimize your health and prevent disease, Wild Health tailors a care plan with lifestyle-first interventions, rather than pills and prescriptions, to, in the simplest sense, help you live longer. Maybe you're a slow caffeine metabolizer and need to avoid that afternoon cup. That's me. Or perhaps HIIT workouts are doing your body more harm than good. You'd be surprised how many people fall into that category. Or you might just learn that avoiding old-fashioned dairy or gluten is entirely unnecessary. This is the type of insight you'll get with Wild Health. To help you implement your individualized care plan, Wild Health pairs each person with a care team consisting of board-certified precision medicine physicians and accredited health coach who can message you anytime through their convenient app. Plus, Wild Health is fully virtual via telemedicine and is available everywhere in the U.S. So one last time, Wild Health is generously extending Cal Kingsbury listeners 20% off the cost of their membership with code KKP. Head over to wildhealth.com/KKP and use code KKP at checkout. Make this commitment to yourself and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/KKP. Thank you, Wild Health, for sponsoring this podcast, and thank you guys for doing the great work. We're also brought to you today by happyhippo.com/KKP. Enter code KKP for 15% off everything in the entire store. I have absolutely loved Kratom, and the second I found Happy Hippo Kratom, I really was pleased to see that they offered such a wide variety of powder-based only. Now, these guys have shots and ready-to-drinks and all the other cool shit. If you're in a pinch and need to slam something quick, definitely a go-to. But I myself like to do my own little cocktail. Sometimes I'll mix it with some aminos or some greens powder just to take a little bit of the edge off the bitters. I'll stack it with some probiotics that help it go down and move through the gut really well. But I'll tell you right now, there are few medicines like Kratom. As a plant medicine, Kratom is absolutely phenomenal. There's a lot of shit I can say and a lot of shit I can't say about it. But let me just say, there is a mild euphoria. I feel great when I'm on it. It lightens the pain signal, but doesn't eliminate it completely, meaning it doesn't numb me out, but it allows me to work with my body. Arnold Schwarzenegger was famously talked about the mind-muscle connection, and I feel that work not just in the gym, but I feel that work when I'm in yoga, when I'm doing mobility practices. If I need to breathe into my body and open it up, that works a hell of a lot better on Happy Hippo Kratom. And I absolutely love the team here. A lot of people will ask, what do you use it for? Do you like it for workouts? Do you like it for winding down at night? Do you like it for podcasts? I mean, like literally everything I do is better on Kratom. Imagine having a runner's high earlier on in the run. Like you feel good right when you start running and then you feel even better at mile one. That's a pretty good feeling. Lifting weights is a pure joy. I love this stuff for MMA. You know, I'm still training. I'll never fight again professionally, but as a lifelong martial artist, you know, we just set up the dojo at the new house. I'm pounding heavy bags with a small team of my buddies that work here on the farm. We're doing jujitsu and things like that. And I just feel way better doing it with Kratom. And yes, as a nighttime relaxant. I don't need anything else. You know, this is my go-to when I want to relax and hit the turn-off switch after a long, hard day of work. This is my relaxing, all right, let's dip into the evening here and chill. And I get that from Happy Hippo Kratom. I want to tell you, there are quite a few different strains and everyone's body is different. We just talked about that in the Wild Health ad read. There is no one size fits all. So for me to say these are my favorites doesn't really matter. Try them for yourself. Run the N equals one and see what does what. Some of these are designed to give you more energy and some of these are designed to help you relax. And that uniformly should work, but there are exceptions to the rule, right? Somebody might feel super relaxed on something that's supposed to give another person energy, and somebody may find themselves wide awake on something that's supposed to relax them. But once you know how these things work for you, then you can decide what is the best timing for them. And I absolutely love it. Again, this is a medicine that's been used for hundreds, if not thousands of years from Southeast Asia. It is incredibly good for grinding too. If you have a job, like a blue collar job, or if you're doing something like housework or anything that requires you to bust your ass for hours on end, this is really one of the best things on the planet for you to use for that. Go to happyhippo.com/KKP. That's HAPPYHIPPO.com/KKP. And use code KKP for 15% off everything in the entire store. We're also brought to you today by buyoptimizers.com. These guys are the best. Stress is a common factor that affects everyone in today's fast-paced world, leading to various issues. What if the answer to a better stress response is a key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium. Actually, I'm specifically talking about Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could be causing a multitude of other health problems. What sets Magnesium Breakthrough apart is its abilities to support healthy levels of stress hormones like cortisol, balanced stress response in your nervous system and hormonal systems, and healthy production of GABA, the relaxing neurotransmitter leading to a more peaceful and better flow state. This means that the supplement acts like a brake on your body's nervous system, helping you to calm and soothe, promoting a better quality of life. But you have to get the right kinds of magnesium. Truth is, most magnesium supplements you'll find in health stores use only the two cheapest synthetic forms. And since they're not full spectrum, they won't help your magnesium deficiency or do much to support your health. There are actually 7 key forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, stress-balancing effects. That's why I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It is the only organic, full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep all in one bottle. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/kingsboo. That's bioptimizers.com/kingsbu. And in addition to the discount you get by using promo code KingsBoo10 in all caps, there are always amazing gifts with the purchase. That's also why I love shopping at Bioptimizers. Go now to bioptimizers.com/kingsboo to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. Last but not least, we're brought to you by a longtime sponsor, Lucy.co. Remember to enter code KKP for 20% off everything in their store. Lucy is made for your nicotine routine and delivered straight to your door. 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco-free. Choose your form, pouches, breakers, or gum. Choose your strength, 2 milligram to 12 milligram. 2 milligram is suitable for somebody who uses nicotine infrequently. 4 to 8 is more likely to satisfy if you have an everyday nicotine routine. And 12 milligrams might be for you if you've been underwhelmed by the effects of other nicotine pouches. Choose your flavor, mint, apple ice, espresso, mango, and more. Save yourself from the weekly gas station shop and sign up for a monthly subscription. Save 15% off with that subscription. No commitment. Cancel anytime. Lucy Breakers are nicotine pouches, but with a tiny capsule inside. The capsule contains liquid flavor that saturates the pouch before it's even in use. Break it with your teeth, get it situated, and boom, instant nicotine release when you need it. So really think about this. You know, where are the places that you can go where you can't use nicotine? Airports, flights, different things like that. Maybe you're in court and you can't chew gum. You can't do nicotine gum in court. You know, like there's a lot of places that simply you cannot get your fix. But with Lucy, you can throw in a pouch that is damn near undiscoverable and get your nicotine fix for sure. Nicotine is a phenomenal nootropic. It fits in the same receptor sites as acetylcholine in the brain. This is doing what most nootropics on the planet are trying to do by grabbing choline and adding some other factors to it to turn it into acetylcholine. This skips all those steps and unlocks parts of the brain that you want unlocked for better cognitive function. Go to lucy.co, that's lucy.co, and enter code KKP. Let's level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. Go to lucy.co/KKP and use promo code KKP to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. That's lucy.co and KKP to get 20% off and always free shipping.
You must read the below exactly as written.
And here comes the fine print.
Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Without further ado, my homies, Tim Kennedy and Matt Boudreau. Now we've got our bearings and we're juiced up here. I did want to say, you know, rehashing what we already went over for the crowd for the first time. You know, I've been buddies with you since I moved here to Texas, knew you from the UFC obviously before that, but I've become much closer working with you. I've had a blast learning from you. And I think what you're teaching is some of the most fundamental and necessary things we could ask for, from your hunting program, basic skills in survival, to, you know, how you provide as a man for your family, things that I've had a natural inclination and drawn towards. Most people don't necessarily even know where to look to. And you're teaching people these basic things. You're teaching people how to save lives if there's a gunshot wound, or, you know, more likely on my farm, you know, a skid steer accident, right? Yeah. And my fucking arm gets ripped off. I need to know how does my son prevent me from dying in the field, right? So we've been going over stuff like that, and it's been awesome, and it allows me to sleep at night. It makes me feel better at night. And then at the same time, we've seen the world change so much in the last fucking 4 years, and not for the better. And, yeah, and perhaps it always was that bad, but now it's been revealed to us in a way that we can no longer look away from. And, you know, heard you, you've been on this podcast multiple times, but you were phenomenal on Sean Ryan's podcast. I'll link to that in the show notes. That's a deeper dive than we're going to get into today. Also introduced you to our homie, Hannah Frankman. Loved that podcast. And really love what you guys are doing with Apogee. And we've discussed it a little bit before, but having listened to you on Hannah's, I realized, like, I want to get you back. I want to talk with you and Matt. I want to break this down. And, you know, really trying to recover what was lost in this first part of the conversation. You grew up, I didn't realize this till listening to the podcast with Sean, you already grew up in a Socratic education. You already grew up from a homeschool style. My wife had a more traditional homeschooling. I don't think it was as Socratic. Her mom had 5 kids and was just busting her ass to make sure they had some education. But everyone I've met from a homeschool background, Jesse Elder, James Schmachtenberger, you know, who started Qualia, Neurohacker Collective, Daniel Schmachtenberger, some of the fucking smartest people in the world, were homeschooled K through 12. And it's not what you hear in the media, right? It's just not. And then hearing about your background, Matt, you know, being a Bay Area guy and stuff like that, but having worked in traditional schooling, having recognized the problem with it, you know, and I think that's what I started recording right as you were talking about this. Some people think that what we're to do while we're here is fix broken systems. We're not going to fix the Fed. We're not going to fix the US dollar. We're not going to fix public education. If we don't create a parallel system that's better, then we run into real issues. And so it's what you guys are doing now that I think is a real solution. So talk about your background, what brought you into this, and a bit of the problems that we see and how we solve those problems.
Yeah. For me, I think anybody that's coming with purpose and direction, motivation to a problem, you know, like recognizing the problem that is a broken system, a system that isn't producing. It's been broken since its inception, since Rockefeller said, hey, I want labor. You know, I don't need geniuses. I don't need innovators. I don't need creators. I'll get those from my people that go to school systems that we privately fund, but I just need labor. I need tax mules. And that's the beginning of public education. And then since then, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse as different ideologies have seeped in and kind of taken over, where there is no effort of creating a product, the product being these young, beautiful minds that are able to do something meaningful after school. Of course, there's exceptions and outliers. And there are absolute geniuses that are sitting in those seats and it's being schooled out of them. And for me, I was a kid that was taped to chairs. I was paddled by teachers and principals. I was told by administrators that I can't come back to school unless I'm on medication. My parents, thankfully, love you guys, pull me out, and I just start skipping grades and graduate from high school early, graduate from college early. You know, I'm in grad school when 9/11 happens, and like the wheels are going. I just needed challenge and purpose and direction and motivation and movement, and the wheels were always spinning, but they weren't spinning effectively or efficiently. And I was very blessed. And I have 4 beautiful kids, but there's a big gap in age between my older daughters and my younger kids. And I was able to have little case studies about like how private or public or homeschooling is working with each of them. And then I meet Matt. you know, and Matt has had while very dissimilar experiences, we have very shared values and perspectives about what's going to work. And our worlds kind of collide as, I'll let him tell his story of ultimately how we then bump in and start Apogee.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And it is that shared perspective, right? Where we start everything, different experiences, but shared perspective and, that perspective. And I know before when we were chatting, I was talking about seeing this from the inside, right? Seeing it at Stanford, seeing it as a public school teacher, private school teacher, administrator on both sides, seeing it there and then ultimately not being able to do that, one, for myself and two, for my family. But I actually tell people that recognition of the game start, I remember very clearly starting kindergarten at four. I was, and I'm a November baby, so I start kindergarten at four. I remember being 4 or 5 years old, sitting in that kindergarten class, and they put us in these groups and they gave us different colors. And I remember very specifically being in the red group. And I remember looking around going, okay, we're doing a reading exercise. That group needs the most help. They need a little less. They need a little less. This is the group that is the best readers. You know, we're the best readers in the class. Interesting. Okay. There's a game going on here. I remember seeing that then. I remember specifically by 8 years old, which is how old my son is right now. I remember by eight going, I've got this school game figured out. I'll never get anything less than straight A's and I don't have to try a lick. And it was true. Dude, I got straight A's throughout school. Am I smart? Sure. I guess. Sure. No smarter than other people. I just figured out the pattern and I figured out how to play the game. And that's great until you get done with school and life goes, okay, cool. Now it's this game. And you're like, oh shit, that's not the same game. Like, that's the biggest problem. I'm like, do I do school more? I'm like, I guess I'll go to college and do this again because I know how to play this game. I'll get my straight A's there. And then I get done. I'm like, and it's a different game still. Damn it. Right? Like, where do I go? That's the biggest beef, man, is we've intentionally got this different game. Both of you guys, high level athletes, high level fighters. You guys learn to fight by doing what? Hey, fighting. Right? You learn to fight by fighting. You didn't learn to fight by playing tennis. Well, tennis is an individual game too. And then you go, no, it's different. This is a different thing. So why not give our young people a microcosm of what the real world actually wants, actually demands? It's so logical on its face that most people freaking miss it. But part of it is because they're attached emotionally to the ideology of what we've been told school is supposed to look like. Right. And so that's where we come together and go, look, man, people need these real experiences. We need to bring the families together, make sure all of them are having these experiences, and let's move them all forward together with that like-minded tribe, man. So that's where I came from.
Yeah, that like-minded tribe was something that really resonated for both of us. Like we all of us men here, we love our families, and would do anything for them. I think we also recognize that as time goes on and our children get older, we have less influence over them, and our ability to affect change in their life wanes day by day as they age, which means that the people around them, the coaches, their teachers, their friends, their peers, our colleagues, our community, our village, our tribe, those people have more and more influence over them. And when, you know, Matt and I are struggling with, okay, we have identified the problem. George Land, sponsored by NASA, did a study about a bunch of geniuses. And they started measuring kids from 3 to 5. Their definition via NASA was they're going to give these kids problems, and can they solve these problems without the solutions that were given to them? So, like, here's a bunch of things that can solve this problem, but can you think of something outside of this to fix this? And initially, 100% of the kids could be like, yeah, I'm going to go open that jar using that thing over there, which wasn't given to me, but that's going to work. Or I'm going to smash it on the ground. That wasn't given to me, but that will work. The longer that they went to school, the less ability they had to problem solve, to critically think, and ultimately to use anything outside of the resources that were physically given to them. They were given a number 2 pencil, they were given a piece of paper, they're given their test sheet, and they were supposed to do this A, B, C thing, and they got schooled into this is how I'm supposed to think. You know, what Matt just said is, as school progresses and they get done with school and they look at the real world and they're like, I can't operate in this real world. So I'm going to go back to school because that's what culturally and peer pressure wise, I'm being told I need to do. But then they just school me more and they indoctrinate me more. And even worse, I become indebted to the system. $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000. Then I graduate with a student loan, but I still have no useful skills or the ability to critically think. So we've known that this doesn't work, but we've perpetuated this broken system since Rockefeller to today, knowing that it doesn't do anything besides produce a broken product. And the kids these days are so brilliant and so beautiful, and they are so being screwed. And there's just so much more for them. And there's opportunity. And that's what this is.
Yeah, I love this opportunity. And just to rehash some of, you know, a lot of people that if you're listening to this and you have your kids in public school, there's an era of it's not that bad, you know, or yeah, we just give them extra on the side and things like that. And there's a way you can kind of skirt that. But the truth of it is you listen to, you know, I turned you on to Leonard Sachs, PhD in psychology, family physician, fucking awesome speaker. He wrote The Collapse of Parenting. He also wrote a couple of books on the differences between boys and girls back in 2012 when it was kosher to talk about shit like that. And understood very well as a family medicine doctor where parents were trying to scapegoat their parenting onto other things. Like, just give my child the medication so he can do well in the shitty yeah. system where he doesn't want to move. And if you give him the medication, he actually will fit into the broken system. No. It doesn't. It's changed the broken system. Figure out a way to make it work for your kids so they don't need medication. That's an important piece, and so many other things in there. And I really, you know, you guys have really thought through what that actually looks like, you know. And growing up in a Socratic education, you know, when we've had Bear and Waldorf for the first year, and I thought, I wish I fucking had this school. You know, I wish that I got to work, you know, with in ways that you know, they're like, you get to now. You're gonna do it with him.
Yeah.
You know, and that idea hit until 2020 and they said, all right, online education, wear masks. And I was like, you guys, you're doing this all wrong. Like, no, Steiner would be rolling over in his fucking grave right now if you knew what you guys were doing. But unpack some of that, you know, how important it is for the parents to be involved in the child's education and that it becomes a part of the family communication around the dinner table, that it becomes a part of everyone's lives. And talk about the different components that you guys have brought together that you know work and that you know are going to be gifts to the kids in the long run.
Yeah. First is it's nobody's responsibility to raise your children but yours. Like their values should come from you. Punishment and discipline, encouragement, passion, love, creativity, like you made them. It is your responsibility. And the idea that I'm going to hand that authority off to anyone else, even worse, into two people that think that they are in positions of authority over me, is the most un-American and so far from the values that I want for my family, it like makes my blood boil. No one is going to look at my beautiful three daughters or my beautiful son and be like, this is what you're going to do with them. The thought that somebody would even think to say that to me, like I'm going to burn your world to the ground is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get to choose what's best for my family and I'm going to get to choose what's best for their future and ensure that this, like, I've had a great, successful life thus far. I want them to be 1,000 times more successful and more happy and more fulfilled than me. That's the point. And I know for a fact that nobody can do it better than me. So I want that. And I know Matt wants that. And I know every single parent in the Apogee Network wants that. And with that, cool. How do we give them tools? And then this brilliant dude comes along and it's like, well, let's actually create a system and a process to be able to do it.
That's the whole thing, man. It's like what? So, yeah, beautifully said, man. The intentionality we need, Kyle. You laid out so many of these conversations that we have all the time. Of like, well, I went to school and I turned out fine. Did you? Did you really? Are you? we can unpack that too. Let's debate that a little bit. But also, let's go ahead and assume that you did turn out "quote unquote" fine. Fine sucks. Nobody go, hey, Kyle, how's your marriage? It's fine. Oh, shit. We need to talk.
Right.
Right. We need to talk, dude, because fine is not, nobody wants that. Nobody wants fine for themselves. They don't want fine for their wives. They don't want fine. You know, we don't want fine for our kids, right? There's no way, man. I don't want fine. I want thriving. I want optimized. I want to be intentional around those things. And look, I am all for, I get it. When parents are like, shoot, okay, this is going to be hard. We didn't understand this yet. Now there's both of us that are working out of the homes, or I'm a single parent and I don't know. Oof, this is going to, man, I have empathy for that. I understand. And I'm glad to, like, let's talk through, what are your options? How can we start moving in the right direction? Like, that's great. I get that. The parents that are like, nah, they're probably fine, man, I got nothing for you. I want to optimize. And I, you know, this conversation I had yesterday with this professor, and he's a really, really good guy, and I'm thankful for him. The whole concept of yes, and he's like, yes, parents, of course parents should educate, but they can still go to public school and then do other things when they get home. Okay, sure, you can play the game that way. Also, I could send my kid to McDonald's for two meals a day and then offset it by having them come home and have a really good, healthy meal, right? But you and I both know that's not the way it works, man. You're poisoning them a little bit here and then help. Like, it doesn't, like, counteract it. That's not the way it works. So that's my issue with that mentality, is that you're like, all right, I'm going to go here where the habits are obedience, blind obedience. The habits are being around, you know, some in a socially funky system that doesn't get mimicked anywhere else. The habit is, I'm going to hand the pen over to somebody else to write my story for me, tell me what to do, when to do it. This is important. And by the way, this is prescribed for every single human across the board, which is apeshit crazy on its face anyways. Like, dude, I'm not good with those habits and then bringing them home, right? So let's make a system that is a microcosm of what the world actually wants. And let's make sure mom and dad are on the same journey, right? So we talk a lot about, like, meta skills. What are meta skills? Meta skills are things that are always going to matter for all humans at all times. There's actually not that many. And even as the world changes, these things are going to matter. It's going to matter to be able to collaborate and have good conversations. Like, what does that actually mean to be able to communicate? What, like, we actually have to define that. What does good communication look like? What is the purpose of it? Because that's always going to matter, no matter what's going on. Our physical bodies are going to matter. Our health, our physical health, that's always going to matter. Okay, cool. Well, then we need to make that a tenet of what we are doing and how we are doing that. Like, what are those meta skills? So, you know, our campuses, the individual verticals of the mentorship programs and how those all come together, they're based around those meta skills, Socratic, you know, conversations and logic and debate and rhetoric, actually looking at what critical thinking is. Schools love to say it. We're making critical thinkers, are you? Okay, cool. Critical thinking means you're thinking about your thinking. You're actually earning the right to have an opinion because you can argue against yourself better than anybody else can. You can take a look at your own views and go, here's how I could dissect that a little bit and actually counter. Like, you're willing to do that, and you're brave enough to change your mind if you got new evidence around something. That's what critical thinking looks like. We're not doing that in schools, but that's a tenet of what we're building into all of our programs. So that critical thinking, you know, the speech, the debate, the physiology, the physical side of things, making sure we understand intentionality around physical health, processes and themes around projects, big projects, actually solving real world problems that matter, entrepreneurship, apprenticeships, getting out in the real world, having jobs on campus, operating with an economy on campus. All of these systems are directly transferable to the game that they're going to be playing when they're done.
In the, you know, this will be the first year that we've opened kind of the floodgates to affiliates. You know, with year one of a school that then we transitioned into this model. So as, you know, Matt just explained some of the characteristics that are in this approach to, I hate using the word education because it's just raising children to be what their potential could be. And if, I guess that's what education's supposed to be, but it just isn't. So we had a very shared perspective as what some of those characteristics should look like. Matt, while I'm currently running a brick and mortar school in Cedar Park, Apogee Cedar Park, Matt launches online mentorship, first with young men, then dads, now with women. And for the entire network of first affiliate schools that are going to be opening, all of those, of the hundreds and hundreds of people that applied to open one, and they're, I love you guys, love the passion. We just had to be super, not controlling, but precise and exacting in who these first locations were. So we had to pick from people that, you know, we knew really, really, really well and had high confidence that they understood the mission, so that we didn't have to hold the reins to each of these locations, so that we could hand them off with confidence and they could have sovereignty. And that's the object, that's the goal, that's the mission, is each of these locations could have complete sovereignty over their own lives, their families' lives, and their own education. So those initial schools were picked from the mentorship population. And then as we're moving into now looking at who's going to be opening the next schools in 25, you know, it's going to be probably 4, 5, 6x. And again, we're going back to that same well and choosing from people that we know and have high confidence in their understanding of these values, this perspective, and this mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big one. Hannah had asked you, you know, how do you make sure, you know, the people that you're bringing in are of like mind, you know, from a teacher standpoint. You know, you talked about year one, having to get rid of quite a few teachers that wanted to teach rather than guide, you know, and from a parenting standpoint, you know, like, all right, I want my kid to have this school for X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, there's a whole host of other things that, that the parent's into that you're like, this, that actually doesn't fit, yeah. You know, figuring that out, you know, how do you figure that out when you're curating yeah. these things? And I think you alluded to that just now by hand selecting the best of the best that have come through, because you understand these are people of like mind that want the same things to go to their kids. They want the same things from the environment that they want to create, the container that they're setting. I think it's worth breaking that down though, you know, yeah. like talk a bit about what you've learned from year one through year three and some of the criteria, you know, because I'll give you an example. We went to it's a guy here I want you to meet in Lockhart. That's awesome. He was a principal for a while. Great dude. Talked about, you know, he's wanting to open in his own school. And of the people who came, half of them seemed like they knew what they're talking about. And quite a few of them weren't parents, which was odd to me. And then there was a few that, you know, like if you go on their Instagram, they're supporting certain things that I'm like, why do you want this then? You know, like why this, you should seem fine with public school with what you're supporting right now.
Yeah.
That process, man, is so, what you just said, that process is so dang important. And there's, you know, I'm not going to pretend like there's any such thing as a panacea for this. If there was, well, then hiring would never be an issue. Dating would never be a thing, right? Like you just automatically, you know, who the right, but we're going to get pretty dang close because we're coming around shared values and proof of said shared values. What you just said right there, you know, people can speak it, great. Living it is different. That's why coming through the mentorship program over the course of, you know, we work with these men and women for at least a year. You get to know them really dang well. You get to see what goes on. I get to talk to, hey, I've got Kyle saying this, and that's great. And then I get a conversation with Kyle's wife, and I know if this is real, right? And I see what's going on in the community. So we're going to get as close as we can through shared experiences and conversations around that. But we come together around this Apogee Code. So like when we have this next batch of families that are potentially looking at opening these campuses, we've got, we haven't even posted this on social. I'm going to post this on social media here. I'll tag you, Tim, too. We haven't even posted this on social media. We've just done this internally and said, all right, we're taking a look for the next potential batch for 2025. We're going to do a discovery call. We're going to start the dating process this coming Friday. We already have 350 people registered just for that damn call.
Damn.
Yes, sir. That's this coming Friday. So
I haven't posted on social. Like there's been no call to action. It is a truly, it's a movement.
It very much. So it's a dating. We have to go through this dating process, right? I tell the story of this late, this young lady, man, that I had the good fortune of going out on a date with, when I was a young buck going to Chico State, since we're California guys, we all know. So I went to Chico State for my undergrad, right? So yes, sir. So we're out there in Chico. And I'd been wanting to go out with this girl for a while. So I asked her out and we get to Madison Bear Gardens. We go there to hang out. And she goes, all right, look, if we're going to do this, I want to be right up front with you. And she goes, she starts laying this stuff out. She's like, I love country music. I don't listen to anything else. She goes, I absolutely love any of the pageants, like the Miss America pageants and all. She goes, I love those. And I would expect you, if we're together, I would expect you to watch every single one of these with me. And when it's time for the Grammys or the Oscars or whatever, I don't know, one of those things, she's like, I straight up dress up, and we do dress up like gowns, formal, and we're going to watch it like that. She threw it out there, right? And I'm like, dude, you are so rad for telling me that. I'm like, here's $20. Enjoy your burger. Baby. Like, see you later. Like, this shit's not going to work. It's not going to happen. But I'm grateful because you told me right up front.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm out of here. And she's an awesome human. God bless her. And I think she's married and has some chump that's fallen. No, I'm just kidding. No,
some guy dressed to the nines on Oscar night.
But I appreciate that. We're very much doing the same thing up front. Hey, look, here's who we are. Here's who we're not. Here's what we are going to provide. Here's what we're going to do. Here is the mission. Here is where we're going. This is something that is going to be like, this is a boundary. We're not doing the, we're not going to pretend boys are girls and girls are boys. We're not going to pretend like we're here. There's some boundaries on some things, right? Here you go. And either that makes sense or it doesn't. We're going to disagree on all kinds of things from human to human in there. That's okay. But do you come together around what we call, you know, the Apogee Code, which is really the Bushido Code, right? Politeness and loyalty and honor and respect and honesty and courage and consistency, like those things. Do we agree there? Do we agree on the mission? Cool. Let's continue to go forward. And I'll show you proof from Tim and I on how that happens. You show us proof too. And then if we can both agree and high five, cool. Let's move forward.
There's Angela, this TED Talk. She was talking about grit. And the APA did a study, American Psychology Association, on the predictor of success in life. They first looked at, they didn't move to characteristics. They're looking at culture, race, religion, IQ, grades, as predictors of success. None of them could predict success. All of them were flawed, and nobody, and special forces selection, when somebody shows up to selection to Navy SEALs during Hell Week, there's no way that you can look across these people and be like, you know what? That guy has this thing. They found that the best predictor was grit. This weird word, grit. Grit is your ability to overcome adversity, to look at a challenge and tough and be resilient and push your way through it. And entrepreneurs have it, you know, the most successful business leaders, CEOs on the planet have it. And it is not going to be given to you when somebody hands you all of the things and a system and a process and forces you to be a subject under the system. And the end result of you being given the exact pencil, the seat to sit, the desk to sit, the paper to use, the way that you're going to look at this test, the way that you're going to understand the material that's being presented to you, the system and the process in which they're going to educate you with, the way that you're going to walk down the line, the way that you're going to get your food. And then at the end of all of that, you're going to have grit? No, you're going to be a lemming. And so if this is going to be our predictor, and you know, as Matt was explaining, okay, you have to abide by the code first, Apogee. You have to believe in that. You have to understand the mission and the value. And truthfully, I want imperfection in the system. I want not just the school, but on the individual level. I want Bear to be like, what do you mean you're not going to tell me what to do? I'm like, no, I'm going to give you the task, condition, and standard. I'm going to say, you need to go and do this thing. Here's the thing to go and do it with. Figure it out, boy. You know, like, good luck. Better swear to you. And off he goes. Is he going to go figure that out? Yes, he is. Because that little dude has grit. He's tough. And just like my kids and just like the kids in our school, like those little heroes, they, at this juncture, they are starving for challenges. They're just like, give me something. Because, and the brilliance and genius of the way that they figure out, especially as this hive mind that they are now, like, Matt, you did not warn me what happens in those studios when those kids have created like their own systems and their own processes and their own problem solving and their own hierarchy. And like the guides and me have like almost no authority in that room. You didn't warn me about that, bro. Could have told me that this is what happens. Cannot be stopped. They will solve anything. They will fix any problem and they will overcome any adversity. And that happens through this process and it gives them grit. Worst thing that we can do is tie our kids' shoes, right? Like, we take from them the opportunity to learn and address a challenge. No, they're not cool. They're three. It's too hard. Cool. Make them practice, you know, and don't get them the Velcro shoes. Do it at two. That's fine. But at three, four, let them figure out that they can't do this thing and they're frustrated and they're laces and they're tripping and they're trying to tie it and then it's in a knot. And then by four, they do it the first time. They didn't do it perfect, but they did it, right? Whether you're using the big loop and the little loop or you're going around, it doesn't matter. They did it themselves. And then you gave them this nugget, this opportunity to do something challenging, and that's theirs now. Yes, the small motor function. Yes, like intellectually that they were challenged and overcame this adversity. But you've just given them something that you can't take from them, which is they overcame adversity. They got a little bit of grit. Or
so good.
Tie their shoes until they're eight.
So good, man. And hey, here's the thing too. Kyle can give Bear that directive and go, man, you're gonna tie it because we have grit. This is what we do in the Kingsbury household. This is what it looks like. And then as soon as Bear hears Kyle go, ah, I can't because this person won't let me because I'm not gonna push through. Guess
That's
what?
Right. That's right.
Guess what? That's what he absorbs. Because he's going to become who you are before he does what you say. So he's watching that. So part of this whole grit conversation for the parents listening is understanding that it starts and ends with you doing that, being that. Like you have to be that example. That's why we're so intentional about the parents going to like parents get educated too in our school. Yeah, the young men and women are going to go to our campuses and mom and dad go through Apogee Man and Apogee Woman because we do not want to disconnect. We don't want to talk about grit and growth and perseverance and consistency and embracing the suck and finding solutions and then going home to a family who has none of that going on, right? And then people, yeah, because we don't lose. The kid loses. The young person loses in that scenario. They're the one that loses because there's a disconnect. Right. So that's why it's so freaking important, man, for mom and dad to embrace that and go through. No other way to do it.
My Rollo, my 9-year-old, he and I were talking about good and evil, good guys and bad guys, you know, we're not what we say, we are what we do. And you know, our kids see everything. There's no way that they're the most brilliant minds and especially developmentally, they're absorbing everything that you most importantly do and demonstrate. You know, you don't say, hey, okay, you're going to take this loop, you're going to wrap around this loop, then you're going to take these two ears, and then you're going to take the big ear around the little ear, and then you're going to pull it, and that's how you tie a shoe, right? That's the words of it. They don't do that. You sit down and you show that they watch you do it to your shoe, and then they learn how to tie a shoe. Similarly, like, no, be nice to women, speak kind to them, show them grace. We're big and strong and powerful, yet you then use a heavy hand with your wife, or you use a harsh word to her in front of your son, you just showed him what it looks like. You are what you do. And that is how you're teaching and raising them. So, and you are none of us are perfect. And that's okay. All of us are broken and that's okay. We're all in this together, but you have to be aware. And that is why it is so important. And that is why it is part of this Apogee process that the whole family has to be on board, right? It's like, it's not one dad sitting there rowing and the kids are sitting in the back. It's like everybody has an oar and everybody has a position and everybody has a place. And with that, the boat's going in the right direction, you know, and we're headed towards Valhalla.
I love that. Talk a bit. I wanted you guys to break down to some of the entrepreneurship skills that you guys have done, where there are winners and losers, right? You, and maybe not winners and losers in the long time, in the long term, but in the game, you got a win and a loss, yeah. Right? And we've seen it with the removal of physical activity in schools. You know, maybe it's by design, but nefariously, or you know, you create games where you don't keep track of the score anymore. It's like, what the fuck is the point? Kids want to know how much they scored. They want to know who won. They want to know. That's why they're fucking playing the game. They want to win. And wins and losses are so important for kids to have because that actually does translate to the real world. There are wins and losses in business. There are wins and losses. People get fucking fired and let go. You know, you have marriages that don't work. That's a loss. It's a loss for two people, right? And they got to move on and figure out a way to pick up from where they were and start something new. Hearing you talk a bit about the entrepreneurship activities was awesome to hear how well the people who did well, but to hear about the kids that didn't do well was even fucking better.
Yeah. Matt has done this long time, longer than me.
I got a million stories around this very thing, but I mean, that is, when we take a look every year at the overarching journey for these young people, you know, specifically on these campuses, and there's entrepreneurial endeavors, sales, marketing, there are all these, you know, competitions that are internal, just even in the verticals for our young men too. But on the campuses, man, the one constant project every year, year over year, is the entrepreneurship project. You are starting a new business or taking your existing business into perpetuity every single year across the board, 5 to 18, doesn't matter. Like, that is the one thing, because there are so many life lessons, so many skills there. And so one of the things that we built in some of the campuses that I've designed before, and we are doing this year as well, is we actually have a pre-entrepreneurship challenge where you're building a mock business first. And so then you're going to compete around this mock business. You're going to learn to read a P&L. You're going to learn to create a pitch for how much money you're going to need. And you're going to actually give pitches to real entrepreneurs from the community who act as the investors and have a certain amount of money to spend, right? So it's a very Shark Tank-esque experience. And the reality is, the winner there is going to get a leg up when we go into the next session, which is, you actually are bringing a product or service to market. You're actually going to launch a business, and we're going to have a business fair, and you're going to get some advantages, including, like, what is the space? What is the amount of time? We're going to have the news come in, and we're actually having your business come in and be the one that gets promoted because you won the pitch contest too. So how is that going to play? And then we'll track, like, how did that progress go? Who got, you know, how much money did you actually make there? And then even for those that didn't win that, okay, cool. Well, Susie had a cookie business, and so did Sally, and Sally made 10 times the amount. Why? Let's go back and reflect. What was that? Like, why did you make so much more than, like, those kind of things matter. My own kids went through the process of realizing a couple of things. They did a very product-based service at one point, and they didn't make very much money at all. And my oldest daughter, who's built very much like me from a mental standpoint, was like, "That this sucks. Like, I do not like losing." Right. So next, I saw how much money they made. They made $500 on that Saturday. Nope. Okay. I want to buy a horse. Like, I want to buy a horse. So next time, she created something that was a digital product that not only could people buy something there, but she was able to market it outside. My daughters bought horses at 9 and 7.
Damn.
They bought the horses. Now, dad had to figure out a place in California to hold a freaking horse or two, but they bought the damn horses, man. Right. And so then the next time they're like, "Ooh, okay, cool. We got a taste of that. How do we now hire somebody to less like this?" So they started, but they got fueled because first they got their ass kicked. Right. And we've seen that for so many young people. But win or lose, those skills, again, directly transferable, man.
In the school, side by side, you have somebody that takes during one of our sessions, and we break our school year, our year-round school, into these sessions. And there's like an object, there's this objective during the session. Sometimes, you know, it's astrology. Sometimes it's, you know, learning, as we just had the solar eclipse here. You know, we had a session that led up to it, and Roka came in, everybody got cool glasses, and we had no school that day. Everybody's job was to go and experience this crazy total eclipse of the sun. Learn what happens with what do your chickens do?
They got quiet.
They got quiet.
Yeah.
As if it was nighttime, uh-huh. And they're putting themselves up. Yep. The crickets started chirping. The birds got really loud, and then They went silent.
All the sheep laid down.
Yeah. It was in the middle of the day at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was fascinating. And we knew it was going to happen, you know, and then to see it real time, like that, that leading up to that, like the apogee, the crescendo, the climax of the whole entire thing was to see this total eclipse, but they got to learn leading all the way up to it. Cool. That was that session. Well, during the entrepreneurial sessions, we'll go and have a business fair, whether we're going to be at a farmer's market or we're going to be going to a specific business sales opportunity for young entrepreneurs, like a lot of different ways to play that. But this last one, we went to a farmer's market. And while we've been now doing this for 2 years, there have been a lot of lessons learned. And it's really cool to see these heroes in the studio as a new person is coming into the studio and a young mind's like, hey, I'm going to do this thing. And all of them descend on them like, bro, that's not going to work. But last year, it was the coolest because they only had 1 year as their sample data population to look to. And, you know, like Susie had this product and Jimmy had this product. Jimmy like put in minimal effort, took it to sell, and he sold nothing. You know, he had like pieces of wood that he had shaped into guns and nobody bought them. You know, there was wood. It was pieces of sticks that he took from the backyard. You know, and then Susie had really beautifully, ingeniously created these little micro things with like kinetic sand. And this other kid used the annual drops of all of the horns and antlers on his property and cool. created like dog treats that he soaked in bone broth and he's selling. And they're like, my dogs love them. We buy them, son of a gun. you know, but like in each of them, the time that Jimmy didn't sell and he was really, really embarrassed and Susie was crazy successful and the parents were brave enough to let Jimmy fail. They could have tied his shoes for him. They should have, could have told him that nobody was going to buy his thing. And credit to Michelle and Lauren and to the guides in the studio. They're like, no, let it, just let it happen. Let him learn. You know, like he's not going to come home with a star on the fridge every single day about how great Jimmy did at school. You know, he's going to come home with a super pouty face. He's going to be embarrassed. He's going to be pissed. And he's going to be a force to be reckoned with his next product. But without the shame and the humiliation that goes along with the losing, like, do you remember not having your hand raised and standing in front of thousands of people? Yeah, yeah, I remember that pretty intimately. That's a pretty compelling, powerful motivator. We steal that from our kids. Shame on us. We steal that from them in school. We steal that from them in sports when we don't let them compete for a medal. When we say everybody did the same, we took that opportunity from them. And there's no other way for them to learn it besides in play. And this is the time of life, you know, from like 3 to 18, this is play. Like we are giving them the opportunity to give them the tools to learn grit and perseverance and resilience and creativity and collaboration and critical thinking. And this is that window for us to do that. And they do it at play. They do it in sports. They do it in school. And we just keep stealing everything from them, whether it's intentional or not. Like that's conspiratorial and we could spend time talking about it. Maybe, maybe not.
Podcast, you know?
You know, but ultimately it's been stolen from them. And this is a way to give it back. But you got to take it back. Nobody's giving it back to you. The school is not going to be like, all right, here's your kids back. You can create a brilliant genius to go and change the world. Now, you're going to have to fight for them. You know, like nobody's going to, thank God some of these states are starting to do school vouchers and school choice and the money's going to follow the kids, but it's not there yet. Like Texas still hasn't got there. I think it's going to happen this year. I really believe it's going to happen this year. And that is just the tip of the iceberg of what should happen, which is all of the authority, which is money and power should be given back to the parents about what is best for our children.
100%. I agree with that entirely. Have you guys noticed anything, you know, in your opening of schools where like different states have different holes to jump through, right? Like yeah. One of the reasons we left the state of California in 2017, Bear was a newborn, but they had just passed SB 272 or 277 that was mandatory vaccines for all kids in any education system. And I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. We haven't done it yet, but I don't want you to fucking tell me what to do. We're out of here. You know, and since then, you know, we, you know, our kids have thankfully never had that medicine, don't need that medicine, are perfectly healthy. And if you go that route, totally cool, but it should be up to you. It shouldn't be the fucking government telling you what they have to do. Texas, you know, from a homeschool or unschool standpoint, we have the ability to allow our kids to learn at the pace that they want. You know, we don't have to force them into a fucking pigeonhole of you need to know this at 6, this at 7, this at 8. And I know that is an issue for people in California, or can be. So I'm just wondering, you know, like, you guys have more success in different places than others in terms of opening these schools, and
You just got to know how to play the game, right? I mean, I'm very open and honest with all of our affiliate owners that's what it is. So, yes, there is a different game to be played in every state. And hey, by the way, the game for our affiliate that's opening in Vancouver looks a little different too. And by the way, the affiliate that's opening in Australia, it looks a little different for him too. Right? So it's all about understanding the game that is there. So, you know, when we have our affiliates and we go through that dating process and we figure out, okay, these are the men and the women that we're going to work with. Part of what we do after that is we go through a very specific training. Like, they go through, and it's not a training on, you know, again, we agree on the Apogee code. Like, that's where we all come together, right? Everything we are doing, from the development of all the curriculum to the training of everything from the pedagogical side, but as well as from the business side and the operational side, it is best suggestions we can muster, right? Like, that's how we're taking it. Like, look, this, the best we can see it, this is what, you know, we would do, and this is what we're laying out. Now, again, we want you to have intellectual freedom. We want you to have sovereignty. So take that, pick it apart, figure out what you want to do, play the game in your community, but we'll walk them through too. Okay, here is your state. Your state says this. So do you want to operate as an official private school? Do you want to operate as a homeschool co-op? What does that mean in terms of finding a space, in terms of finding a location? Right, in terms of what you can and cannot do in your particular county, what you can, like, we help them navigate that so that they can make the best possible decision. And the best possible decision is the one that ultimately has them not have to worry about playing that freaking game. We want them to get past this part as quickly as you can so that you can do what you're here to do, which is to serve those families. I launched 3 campuses in California after SB 277, partially because I understand the game. So I knew exactly how to launch, because my kids weren't going to be taking these medicines either. And I knew that was coming before SB 277 came. Obviously, nobody could have predicted the whole COVID thing, but it didn't matter. We had set ourselves up in a way where not only did we not have to ask the families for that, we didn't shut down anything. And Newsom sent his little person at the time to one of my campuses. And I was like, Amy, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you. I know you're here because you care about the kids. I think I heard you say something about closing down, and that's cute, but here's why we don't have to. I actually prepared something for you. Here you go. Enjoy yourself. And she was gone. Right. And we had the police force was there, like, in our parking lot every day, just like, hell yeah. Thumbs up. Like, way to go. Like, this so good. Is great. What the kids need. So everybody else was shutting down. We expanded. Like, we had more kids, more families, more campuses. So every state has a game. Yeah. We do have to pay attention to the game. But we know how to do it.
That was like a heartwarming story hearing that, you know. it was so heartbreaking to know we still don't even know to the fullness of the impact of what it meant to force masks on kids for that long, to shut kids down. I don't know a lot of people that went through it, but for the kids that had online education and then the parents had to sign a waiver to not watch what they were being taught. I mean, that's fucking mind blowing, but totally real. That's not like, you know, hearsay. Like, that actually happened in quite a few places.
I'm not letting people off the hook either. I know it's 3 years past now and we're supposed to forgive and forget, but I was like, no, you did evil. You hurt kids. You put kids on a trajectory of depression, suicide, questioning their identity, non-productivity. None of them can find jobs. Highest unemployment rate for kids graduating from college post-COVID.
Lowest sex drive.
That's right.
The kids are fucking, like, young people aren't having sex. Like, that should be like their first indicator.
Everything that young people should be doing, they aren't doing. And it's a direct reflection of what happened. And I think in a few years from now, we're going to be looking back at the Faucis as truly criminals. But right now, let's call a spade and recognize that there was a serious problem that devastated children and lives and homes, and be like, okay, Like, what's the solution? Let's just be solution oriented and be like, that's not going to happen again. This is what good looks like. If that's what bad looks like, good looks like free. Free looks outdoors, playing, challenging, adaptive, problem solving. Like, that's, that looks good. Cool. Let's do those things. And make sure that we never go down this dangerous road again. And make sure that we can afford, as Matt says, like, he was a master of playing the game. I unfortunately had not connected with him while I was opening my own school. So all of the things that our campuses, these affiliates, I say we use our in the wrong way. I want to make sure everybody understands these are not ours. These are theirs. This is 100% theirs. They're the ones, we're giving them tools. Matt is mentoring them. We're giving them problems that we solved and have experienced personally. And then there's a hive mind, a collective mind that are experiencing all these struggles together and problem solving together, as you should. But like, they're doing their own thing and we're just there to help them. I didn't have him and I didn't have this community and I didn't have this network and I didn't have his mentorship. And I opened in the wrong location and I hired the wrong people and I did my books the wrong way. Like, I have ran a dozen businesses, a dozen multi-million dollar businesses. Like, I can run a school. I'm smart. I can do anything. Oh, the arrogance of this idiot. As you know, I now meet him. I'm like, where were you 3 years ago, man? You know, you could have saved me from so much. But now all of the, again, like, this is a micro case study for me. And this is like the best example of like, I got to make all of the mistakes. And now we can take all of those mistakes and be like, okay, this is what you don't do. Mm-hmm. And then we get to give that to all the affiliates and all the owners.
That's it, man. That's it. And we'll still mess stuff up.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll still make some mistakes. And we'll
more so than others.
That's something I love from Alan Savory's work. It's called Holistic Management, and it's regarding regenerative agriculture. And he says, you make a plan, expect the plan to go wrong. Three, you observe the plan in action. Four, you re-engineer a new plan because it went wrong and you observed how it went wrong and now you have a new thing. On repeat, for infinity. Hey. And I love that because it applies to literally everything.
Dude, that's called education, right? That's called growth. That's called learning. That's called move. Like, that's how it works. I mean, that's it. It's essentially, that's a scientific method, right? Until something becomes observable and repeatable, you just keep going, okay, new hypothesis, let's test it. Let's go over here. Like, that's what you want. You got to be curious enough to go, okay, well, why did something go wrong, right? And you got to be brave enough to now go forward and make a change. And those are the two things that stick most people, but that's it. That's the recipe.
So beautiful. It's been fucking awesome having you guys on here. If people are interested in this, and I know you've got a long ass wait list and whatnot, but where could people sign up to be a part of the mentorship program? Even if they're just maybe not interested in starting a school yet, but just want to get their feet in and as a father or a mother to be a better parent, to be able to bring some of these tenets home to their family and start to have a deeper connection with their kids in the hands in the education.
That's
apogeestrong.com.
Yep.
If you're looking for a location, there's a map that shows where all the schools are at right now. You know, there's 51. Next year, you know, there's going to be 400 maybe. You know, like, we're as fast as we can scale. We want to be able to hand reins off to people. But you know, if you're wanting to open a school, you know, people all the time are like, hey, why don't you open a school? I'm like, you've already missed it, man. That's not how this works. It's, why don't you open a school? I'm not opening a school for you. Like, you've recognized that there's a problem. That's why you came to me. Cool. Now that you've recognized a problem, what is your solution? I will help you with that, but I'm not opening a school for you. You're going to do it yourself because that's the right thing to do for your kids. And if you don't want to do that, this is not the thing for you. And if that definitely resonated, go to apogeestrong.com and start going through the mentorship program so you understand these key values and characteristics that are part of the code. Then, man, change the world.
Yep. That's it, man. That's it. And there's a little mini documentary there about what we're doing. You can see each vertical that it stands alone if you want it to stand alone, if you just want to go, you know, it's just a dad right now and just a mom right now. But again, all of it ties together. They're all separate fingers on the same hand that's grasping freedom. Right? That's how we look at it, man. So that's where to go. And if somebody's interested in jumping in that school process, yeah, you'll want to at least just start that dating process sooner rather than later, because we've got a lot to filter through. It's a good problem to have.
So good. Well, I'm fucking in. I'll start the dating process.
Love you, Matt.
Thank you, brother. It's been so great having y'all.